This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
I'd like to call to order the Senate State Affairs Committee. And at this time, I'd like to greet the Internet listeners that are joining us. And I'd also like to welcome all the guests that have come. And at this time, I'd like the pages to come up and introduce themselves. Tell us a little bit about your current endeavors and what your future might bring.
I'm Elizabeth Peterson, and I'm from Beersford, and I plan to go into political science pre-law.
I'm Catherine Paulson. I'm from Clark, and after high school, I plan on attending Lake Area and pursue a career in dental assisting.
My name is Ruth Burkhalter. I'm from Prairie City, and I'm planning on going to Northern to major in math and get a teaching certificate.
Thank you for that. At this time, I'd like to remind all the folks in attendance to be sure and turn your cell phones off. Any violation of that will be a fine of providing beef jerky for the entire committee and the next time we meet. At this time, we'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Hunhoff?
Here.
Sutton?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Holeen?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Soholt?
Here.
Thiessen?
Here.
Solano?
Here.
Kamak?
Here. We have a quorum. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Moved by Senator Otten and seconded by Senator Soholt. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
I'd like to remind anyone that plans to testify to be sure and sign in at the back of the room. Be sure and sign in legibly. And also all the lobbyists, make sure that you're wearing your badges. And any handouts that you might have, make sure that you make use of the very fine pages that we have in the room to distribute those handouts to the committee. And any questions that anyone might have are to be addressed through the chair. Are there any changes to today's agenda? If none, we'll move on to the consideration of bills. And the first bill up would be Senate Bill 51, and that's to revise certain provisions concerning use tax. And because of some ongoing discussions, we're going to move directly into committee action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
Move to table.
Second.
Senator Brown has moved to table. Senator Holeen is second. And all those in favor? Or does this require a... Okay. The secretary will call the roll.
Senators Hunhoff?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Unanimous.
It's unanimous that the Senate Bill 51 has been tabled. We'll move on to Senate Bill 56, and that is require legislative approval of all land acquisitions by the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. And at this time, we would ask any proponents that might be in favor of the bill to come forward.
I'm Senator Betty Olson from District 28, and I bring this bill to require legislative authority or legislative approval for any land that Game and Fish buys. The reason why is that you understand who owns the wildlife and the fish in South Dakota. The public. Any money that Game and Fish takes in is from their licensing for the hunting and the fishing, and that's the money they use to buy land in South Dakota. Now, we are here as senators and representatives to represent the people. So if Game and Fish is wanting to buy land with the people's money, it should be approved by the people's representatives. That's the sole reason I'm bringing it. I will stand by for questions. I'm sure there will be some.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents?
Lance Russell, State Representative, District 30, Hot Springs. I appreciate the time of the committee in taking this matter up. It is constantly in my particular district. I'm in favor of this bill. We've had a number of purchases in District 30 over the last number of years, two within a five-mile radius of Hot Springs itself. And one of the purchases, I can't remember what it was called, maybe the Battle Mountain purchase, but the purchase was for the purpose of having some habitat for elk. And over the years, we spent a lot of money on it. We took it off the tax rolls, essentially. I know that they pay an ag rate, but this area was being developed shortly before the state acquired it. And so it of course, had a deleterious effect on the property tax pay that gets paid. But more importantly, it was for elk habitat, but the harvest of elk off of it over the years has been minimal at best. It was a very questionable purchase. And it didn't have much support in the Hot Springs area in Fall River County. And then there was a subsequent purchase of the Hill property south of Hot Springs for another lucrative amount of money that essentially took those properties that were development-type properties and gave us a permanent ag rate. But even more importantly, what during the process of doing some research on this matter, we have in my district proposed wilderness areas that, as many of you know, have been an incubator for the mountain pine beetle epidemic that we have in the hills. We also have a proposed wilderness in the Buffalo Gap National Grasslands, where the federal government has created a hell of a public nuisance when it comes to prairie dogs and other matters. But what I found really interesting was is that with the money that was used to purchase the properties, the Hill properties, for instance, and most people don't realize this, but the state used its own money to buy the areas adjacent to the Angostura Lake for the purpose so that they would have more ability to develop those areas or to utilize them more fully. Because the thing that I found out in doing a little bit of research on the use of this federal money that was used for the lion's share, the vast majority, maybe 90% or more of the purchase was, is there are such restrictions. If the state accepts the money, there are huge strings that come attached as to what you can do on the land. In some cases, it's even more restrictive than a wilderness area, and people don't understand that. So what we're doing is, by accepting the money from the federal government in a lot of cases, we're essentially creating a de facto wilderness area. And the strings that come attached with the money, in some cases, like I said, are even more restrictive than a wilderness area. So when when the policy of the state of South Dakota is we don't want any more wilderness areas, it kind of is interesting and ironic that the state of South Dakota, through the Game, Fish, and Parks, is purchasing properties in my area that are probably even more restrictive than wilderness. But we're doing it because we've got all this free money. Well, it isn't necessarily free to certain areas of the state where we're impacted dramatically by having so much federal land. In Fall River County alone, we have 237,000 acres of national grasslands. And that's just part of it, because the BLM has lands there in Fall River County, and so does the Black Hills National Forest. And in most cases, the federal government is not a good neighbor to have, because they create numerous public nuisances that we as the state of South Dakota have to pay for. So I wanted to just make sure that we understand the implications of purchasing more property, and that I think that as a legislature, we shouldn't be delegating this authority to boards or commissions, that it should be a decision made by the people, because it does have, in some cases, an adverse impact on certain areas of the state. And with that, I thank you. I want to go back to my committee. I would stay for questions. And if you want me to come back, I certainly will. But I thank you for your time.
Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. Stock growers rise in support of this legislation, and we're sensitive to the fact that this will make the job of GF&P more difficult. It will create a timing burden on GF&P when they're trying to purchase property, that they have to wait until January and come seek the legislature's permission. And so we don't, being aware of that, we don't ask this lightly, but it's important. We believe it rises to the level of legislative concern, the land that the state owns. It was yesterday, the House passed a bill, 54-15, that said that the name of certain places, the naming of certain places, rises to the level of the legislative, that the legislature should determine at the end of the day how things should be named. And I don't disagree with that, and I don't intend to trivialize that. But I think you think about that. And that bill yesterday was consistent with other bills the legislature have passed that puts the legislature in charge of naming things that the state owns or controls. If the legislature should be in charge of the names of things that we have, shouldn't the legislature have a say in the things, in the nature of the things that we have? It stands to reason that as important as the naming issue is in terms of diversity and in terms of relations between and among us in South Dakota, I think as important as that is, the ownership of land rises to an even higher level. And for that reason, we believe that while it does and it will make it somewhat more difficult for GF&P to purchase land, it won't make it impossible. And we don't think it should be impossible. But we do believe it rises to a level that deserves your attention. And the last thing I note is an adage that it's important that you put principles before personalities. And I want to make that point today. This isn't about the personalities in GF&P. We don't question their honor or their integrity or any of that. But we believe as a matter of principle, the land that the state owns and the land that the state acquires should rise to the level of legislative scrutiny. So we'd urge your support of this legislation today, and I'll stand by, and I appreciate your attention. Thank you.
Are there any further proponents? If there are no further proponents, we would ask for any opponents that would like to testify.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee, my name is Kelly Hepler. I'm Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks. And with all due respect to the bill sponsor, we oppose this bill. And we think the present system we have right now is robust, is thoughtful, encourages broad public and agency participation. When we talk about buying land, I just want to make it clear, we do use a lot of PR Pittman Robinson money to buy land. And that money does have limitations along with it, but they're pretty straightforward. They have to benefit the people who paid for that land, which is sportsman dollars. No way are these lands anything like wilderness lands. You know, I spent a lot of my time in Alaska. I'm very sensitive what the federal government can do to state lands. There's no similarities there, and we'll certainly work with with Mr. Russell and maybe spend some time with maybe explaining to him how the state land versus not. But we have like 171 game production areas around the state, so I'm assuming most senators at the table are probably familiar with how those things are managed. So with that, But when we think about My Land, we have an internal pulse. We go through it, and we look at a number of things. We look how it's going to benefit, you know, maybe some existing game production areas. We look at the long-term benefit we think is going to be to the public. At the same time, we're being responsible. We're also looking at what we think would be the long-term cost to manage that land. And we balance that with, Mr. Chairman, yesterday during my presentation, I was talking about this five-year preventative maintenance that we're working on. So when you bring up an idea like buying land, we look at that on a department level and see how does that judge versus maybe repairing a bridge or, you know, taking care of a road somewhere. So we do that, you know, internal look. But once those decisions are made and those, all those conditions are met in our eyes, we move forward in the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission to where these land acquisitions presently reside. We're very pleased with bringing in that process. And the commissioners we have, are the views they have are very balanced. They're thoughtful in their perspective how they deal with things. They take these acquisitions very seriously. There's a balance on those commissions with landowners. In fact, this past land acquisition discussion we had, Commissioner Dennard himself went down and did some site visits. They asked, I think, all the serious questions that should be asked. It, you know, make sure we're being held accountable in what we're doing. They have a lot of discussions, you can imagine. Landowners are looking at the combination of recreation versus agriculture because we have both on the commission, so those views are being met. The other thing we have with the commission, it's a little bit different than legislatures, that they have 10 meetings a year, 10 months a year they meet. There's ample opportunity for members of the public at that particular point to either turn into comments orally or in writing, a little bit broader. And a lot of these meetings, practically every one of these meetings we have, are very well announced. It's not like they're being done in the dark of night somewhere like in Deadwood and Custer State Park. Everybody knows, you know, what's on the agenda. We're required by law to do that. This internal document that I talked about this on this acquisition, the other thing we're going to do is to request one of the commissioners. We're going to bring that to the commission in March. So then the commission members of the public then can have a chance to thoroughly review that document and see if it's really what you want it to be. So if there's some way we're not looking at the right things in our document, you know, we're open to those type of ideas, and so we'll work with the commission on that. So one more opportunity for the public to be involved. State law right now requires a very rigorous public involvement process. We're required by law to give a 30-day legal notice, which we presently do. We let the adjoining landowners know what's going on and on their property. We send a certified letter to every county commission to let them know what's going on. We also will avail ourselves if there's a county commissioner has a question. We'll be sure the project manager spends some time with that county commissioner. The last thing we want to do is make sure that, you know, the agencies involved, the landlords involved, the public involved, make sure that they're aware of what we're trying to do. And we'll do that, the county commissioners, whether we're, you know, we're talking about buying 1 acre or buying 500 acres, we view it the same way in our eyes. So in summary, you know, we think the land acquisition process we have seen right now working with the commission works very well. We think it's an open process. It's very consistent. And we think it's actually, you know, doing what it should do as far as the public good. So I'll certainly stand by for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any further opponents that wish to testify?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Paul Lepisto, a regional conservation coordinator with the Isaac Walton League of America, here today representing the South Dakota division of the Isaac Walton League. And in the interest of time, I won't be repetitive on what Secretary Hepler said, other than to say that we echo his opposition to this bill. The process is in place. It's working very, very well. There is no need to pass this legislation. Public has a way to be involved in the process. We don't need to add the extra step and the unnecessary time requirement that it would require to come before the legislative body, who, as you, all of you know, your calendar is quite full with things on a year-in, year-out basis. You don't need to add this to your plate, so we urge you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Is there any further folks that would like to testify in opposition?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Robert Bob Barden, and I voluntarily represent the South Dakota Bowhunters Incorporated. I'd like to point out that every one of our members who has contacted me has pointed out that they believe that this is a clear violation of a person's personal property rights, and that if they have a willing buyer and a willing seller, they should be able to go ahead and do so without having to go before the legislature. I'd also like to briefly point out that I've observed the work of the Game Fishing Products Commission over a number of years. I've been very impressed with the way they go about their business. They've been very dedicated. They research anything they work on, and it certainly appears to us that they're in much better position to evaluate a piece of property than the legislature is as to whether or not it can properly be used for the purpose of which the Game Fish and Parks has suggested. So we respectfully ask that you vote no on this bill.
Are there any further opponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Chris Hessel. I'm the executive director of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation Camo Coalition. And we oppose this for the same reasons that Secretary Hepler and the other people have, and we do support the process that is in place of the commission and the authority that the legislature has given them. Thank you.
Are there any further opponents?
Good morning, Chairman Kamak and members of the committee. My name is Steve Donovan, and I'm from Arlington. I'm a proud South Dakota native. My great-great-grandfather homesteaded up in Brown County, and our family has owned land there since 1902. And I remember learning to hunt from my grandfather and father up on that land and many of the public lands in that area. Some of my fondest and oldest memories of hunting are on lands owned and managed by Game Fish and Parks in the Hecla area. Today I'm here representing the 8,000 members of Ducks Unlimited in South Dakota. I'm the manager of conservation programs for Ducks Unlimited for the state. We stand in opposition to Senate Bill 56. Public lands are a very important resource to South Dakotans. They provide areas for people to hunt and fish and hike and do other kinds of outdoor activities. We do not want to see the acquisition of public lands further restricted as they would be by Senate Bill 56. First, I want to point out, as Secretary Hepler did, that it's sportsmen's dollars that are used to buy land, particularly by the Wildlife Division of Game Fish and Parks. It's not general fund dollars. And it's also sportsmen's dollars that are used to maintain and manage those lands, not general fund dollars. Consequently, we don't believe that it is warranted to add further legislative oversight to the process when general fund dollars are not involved. And in those cases when general fund dollars may be used by the Parks Division to purchase property, we believe that funding is already subject to approval by the legislature through the budgeting process. This proposed bill would make it much more difficult for landowners to not only sell land to Game Fish and Parks, but to even donate land to Game Fish and Parks. If, as often happens, sometimes a retiring South Dakota farmer, a rancher, or landowner wants to donate a small piece of land to Game Fish and Parks, this bill would require legislative approval and adding delays and red tape and additional bureaucracy to that process. We believe the current process works very well when Game Fish and Parks is proposing to buy land. As Secretary Hepler mentioned, there is an extensive process that involves getting public comments and public review of proposed acquisitions. And I do want to say we agree with Senator Olson. We agree that the people's representatives should be involved in this process and help decide whether or not an acquisition goes forward. But we believe the commission is the duly appointed people's representatives to decide the fate of proposed acquisitions, and the commission members should be allowed to fulfill their duties and responsibilities acting as the people's representatives when Game Fish and Parks wants to purchase property. And finally, it's important to note, we think that Game Fish and Parks land acquisition has been pretty minimal and pretty judicious in recent years. I believe the numbers, if these are correct, between 2011 and 2015, the Wildlife Division of Game Fish and Parks purchased less than 1,000 acres and accepted approximately another 200 acres in donation. So this is not an extensive land acquisition program by any means. We respectfully request that the members of the committee oppose Senate Bill 56. And on behalf of our 8,000 members, I just want to thank the committee for your time and consideration.
Are there any further opponents? If there are no further opponents, does the bill sponsor wish to have a rebuttal at this time?
I certainly would. We just heard that there is public oversight over this, the land purchases now. There is no elected officials that have oversight over this. We are the elected officials that have oversight over the public's money. And every dime that Game and Fish collects is collected off the public's wildlife and the public's fish. And we're not trying to stop land acquisitions by Game and Fish. We're just wanting them to come through this body and get permission, because everybody in here was elected to serve the people back home that sent you down here. And I brought this bill to represent my folks back home. And if this comes before you guys, you will be representing your folks back home. A lot of your folks back home will want you to approve the sale. Some of mine will too. But now the sportsman dollars that was mentioned, that sportsman dollars are all for the public hunting and the public fishing, and they belong to the public. And I would remind you that we are here to represent the public. Like I said, they mentioned the commission approves this. The Game and Fish Commission is not an elected body. We are. And I think the final say should belong right here. I'll stand by for questions.
At this time, does the committee have any questions for the proponents or the opponents?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Otten.
For Game, Fish, and Parks. Let me play devil's advocate here. Let's just say that this passes. How would you then deal with that then to this body?
Through the chair, Senator Otten. Certainly the deliberative process internally, we do the same with that. We'd still do that whether the legislature is doing final approval or whether the commission does, and so that internal process I described would be the same. I think what it would be interesting when we're talking to people, since you're dealing with, over a smaller time period, we'd potentially maybe have to, purchase an option with the landowner and say this is, it's contingent upon, we need to go through the legislative process. It's not going to be as timely, it's quite as nimble as the way you get through the commission process. But in fairness, this isn't going to stop us purchasing land. It won't. It's just kind of, it's a question of, landowner, whether or not, whether you want to wait for that particular process to go through. But, that's up to the individual landowner to make that mind. So I think, Senator Otten, it trying to be a trial and error, see what it would look like. But I think would it restrict, was slow it down? Absolutely. Would it potentially knock some landowners out or willing sellers before? Potentially. But I don't want to speculate too much until we actually go through that process, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
If I may. How many parcels of land are we talking a year that South Dakota buys?
We have a total of 171 game production areas right now, but you heard Mr. Donovan speaking. Typically, like this year, since my time, I've been in office, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Senator Otten. It's been probably 3 to 4, you know, so maybe no more than that a year. I think you said the total, I mean, a lot of these are like 200 acres in size, 240 acres in size. And so, you know, I'd say 2 to 3 a year would be a maximum, you know. And so there's not a lot of land involved at the present time. We've had some bigger purchases in the past.
Senator Otten.
One final one. Do you have any clue on what is being removed out of the tax base when this ground is shifted?
Through the chair, Senator Otten, I actually appreciate you asking that question. I think a little misconception there is that we pay straight property taxes on this land, so it's no different if it's owned by an individual privately or by us. We still pay the same level of taxes. Parks is a little different situation, but not with these game production areas.
Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would have a question for Secretary Hepler. So you talked about the public input process. Has there been instances and where the public was 100% against this acquisition and what was happening? I mean, can you give me a flavor of how heavily you weigh what that public input is in hearings, or do you just continue to move through if there's, you know, direct opposition to what Game, Fish, and Parks is trying to accomplish?
Through the chair, good question, Senator. You know, I'm going to put this in the time period I've been here since last March, and I appreciate that. But through our side, you know, I'll back up. We, when somebody approaches our like a CEO, for example, or a local biologist, I mean, a willing seller will come talk to them. They're going to start garnering that right away, whether or not there's a lot of opposition to buying that land on a local level, something I'm not going to be able to judge very well in Pierre. As that goes through time, you know, we will get a sense of that. We get a sense of that, you know, certainly through talking to the county commissioners, we get a sense of that from some of the written comments we have. I've never seen one piece of property since I've been here, though, that's been overwhelmingly against. I think some of the most critical comments and critical questions we've had has come from the commissioners themselves. You know, well, they'll delay purchasing the land if they have a chance to go out and do a little more research. Like I mentioned, Commissioner Dennert went down and viewed some property. So I'm not aware of anything in the past where, you know, it's been 100%, but the commission ignored that and moved forward in a way. That's really not, at least what I've seen. And this is a fairly sensitive, I mean, they're very acknowledging what the public thinks. And so I'm not aware of that's gone that way. It may have happened in the past, but I'm not aware of them, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sutton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. If it's okay, I may have a series of questions here. I'll just take them one at a time and see how we go, if that's okay with you. Secretary, how much land does the state own as a percentage of our land base? Do you know that number?
You mean in total by all the all the state agencies in total for the state, or just within Game, Fish, and Parks?
Game, Fish, and Parks.
I mentioned we have 270,000 plus acres on the game production side. I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at Doug in the back.
100,000.
So you're looking at a total of 370,000. So that's a very minuscule part of the total size of the state. Mr. Chairman.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I got a pretty good feel for how much you acquire per year, but how do you decide what land it is that you're going to try to acquire? And what I'm getting at here is, does the landowner have to come to you? Are you actually out there searching for property to acquire?
Through the chair, another excellent question. No, we only deal with willing landowners, and so I know there's been concern that somehow we're at land auctions and things. That absolutely does not happen. So it's opportunistic. So when the landowner comes, they'll come to us, whether they want to donate the land, like my grandparents did. They donated land and spearfish. They did that directly. Whether they want to, you know, somebody wants to sell their land, like the Hill Ranch, those brothers came to us.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that. And so, as a follow-up to that, how is the price determined? Is it based on what?
Okay. Through the chair, Senator. Since, as you heard repeatedly, these are federal dollars, you know, Pittman-Robinson dollars being used to purchase these lands, primarily on the wildlife side, not on the park side, but on the wildlife side, we're required to go through a very thorough, independent appraiser. It's set by federal regulations and guidelines. and it's a fair market value. So we're not underballing people, we're not highballing people, and it's a very rigorous process, Mr. Chairman.
One more follow-up, if I might. Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chair. I want to think about how to phrase this, but once you're in those discussions, you can't force anyone to sell any property to you. I mean, at what point is the deal finalized? Is it a simple signature of purchasing the land? Or walk me through that portion of it a little bit.
To the chair, Senator, no, we absolutely can't force anybody to buy the land. I mean, they can go all the way to the end until after, even after the commission's approved the sale of the land to us, they can go back and pull that out. In fact, we were having some negotiations this past session with the commission where some landowners pulled back out. And so, so they'll approach us, they'll talk to us, we'll talk to them, we'll see if it fits all the, the limitations that I mentioned as far as how it fits in our program. We'll go through and do a fair market value and see if that's consistent with the landowner thinks the land's really worth in their eyes. Let's say all that lines up, then we'll take that back into the commission. But any time during that process, till the time we actually sign in the dotted line, they can pull back from that, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any further questions by the committee? Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You may have answered this in maybe partially, but I want to hit more on a real specific question. And it really is, what process do you use in determining what land that the state would want to purchase? And so is it more of a haphazard, landowner comes forward, you look at it and says, yeah, this looks like it's something good to purchase? Or is there more of a plan that the department has that looks out over a certain number of years and looks at the type of property that you would like to acquire, the type of game that you would like to provide in terms of production areas and that type of thing? Or maybe it's a mix of both of those. If you could just explain that. Thank you.
Through the chair, excellent question again, Senator. It's really a mix of both. Is that when we have these game production areas, we're looking for maybe if there's a piece of land that shows up adjacent to game production area that we can, consistent boundaries so we can expand that, maybe have some marginal habitat in there, which makes sense to us to continue on, maybe provide some additional access for hunters or anglers, and that fits in that category real well. And so we're always kind of looking to see how we can maybe massage those boundaries, and so that's kind of a plan at that particular point. But opportunistic, you may have somebody come along and say, okay, we weren't even thinking about this, but, we have this, 1,000 acres we want to be able to sell you, or even donate, because it falls through the same process, donate. And so then we'd look and see, we'd still ask the same questions. Will it increase the value for wildlife habitat in the state, which is clearly within our statutory mission? Is it still can provide access? We do look at the fact as what it means as far as the adjacent landowners, and what it means is being in competition with them potentially. Are we taking ag land out of production? We look at those things. We need to be able to still produce feed and feedlots and that, but we're conscious. We want to be a good citizen in the state, and we're conscious, otherwise this bill wouldn't be in front of you. And so we take that very deliberately. And, Senator, did I answer your question well enough, sir?
Follow up?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there a certain section of code that exists now that creates the purchasing authority by the commission, or is that done through rule, or how is that handled right now in terms of that provides the authority to make the purchases?
And I'll look behind me here real quick down through the chair, Senator. I'm sure it was part of the delegation, statutory delegation from the legislature to the commission as far as promulgating rules. I'm sure it's found within that section. And, I don't know if you're seeing nodding heads behind me or not, or they're throwing things at me, but we can certainly get that answer. I'm not sure if our counselor's in the audience behind me. We'll get that answer for you.
Are there any further questions? Seeing no further questions, at this time we'll close the public testimony and bring it back to the commission for discussion and or action? Senator Teason?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to defer Senate Bill 56 to the 41st day.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Teason and seconded by Senator Holeen to move Senate Bill 56, defer it to the 41st day. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think the legislature does control this process because the legislature in this case, as it does in many cases throughout state government, has given responsibility and authority to various boards and commissions, and they've done so with Game, Fish, and Parks by authorizing by statute a commission to manage the affairs of Game, Fish, and Parks. So what this bill really is doing is asking to take some of that responsibility back to the legislature. So I think we need to ask ourselves, how is the commission operating? Is it carrying out the responsibilities that we as the legislature have given it? First of all, is it operating in a manner that's thoughtful, that's deliberative, that's open, process that citizens of South Dakota can participate in, have their wishes known? Is the commission representative of the citizens of South Dakota? Does it contain membership that is representative of the various interests of the state of South Dakota? And again, in from what I know, in my opinion, it is. I think they have an open, deliberative, thoughtful process in place to make these decisions. And ultimately, the question is the commission at the end of the day representing the best interests of the citizens of South Dakota? And again, I don't have information to believe otherwise. I believe that it is. I believe that the commission is operating appropriately. Therefore, I think that we need to continue our legislative authority to allow the commission to make these kinds of decisions, and I'd ask your support to defer this bill. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an interesting discussion, interesting debate. I appreciate the sponsor for bringing the bill. Where I think I come at it from is from the perspective of a landowner. And if I want to sell my land to Game, Fish, and Parks or whoever I want to sell it to, that should be my right. And I don't know that 105 legislators in Pierre should have the job to approve that or not if I want to sell my land. So with that, I'm going to ask you to support this motion. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, the motion on the floor is to defer Senate Bill 56 to the 41st day. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Hunhoff?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Brown?
No.
Holeen?
Aye.
Auten?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
8-1.
The Senate Bill 56 is deferred to the 41st day at a vote of 8-1. At this time, if there's no further business before the committee, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Solano. All those in favor, aye.
So.
Or so. So. One of the S words.
Yeah, one of those.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.